Realty Nation, it's your host, Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Today's going to be a good one. If you are an investor, you're thinking, I've got a little bit of money, and I hate single family. Well, it's not that you don't hate single family. It's just single family's too single, right? Like, it's just too small. There are too many headaches. And you're like me. You're just too pretty to invest in single family. Let's be honest, right? Like, it takes a very specific, well-dressed kind of person, like you, the person that's watching, to say, I don't want to do single family anymore. And I believe me, I understand your pain, which is why the apartment queen is joining us in just a few minutes to talk about why multifamily, why investing in apartments and in apartment complexes can really fortify your financial future. You know, there are a lot of things that you need to know when taking a look at apartments. And it looks like Kaylee's unlocked the secrets to a lot of these things. So we're going to have her join in just a second, kind of, you know, crawl into her brain about multifamily and what it means to be an investor, what we should expect as investors, and frankly, what are some of the trends, what are some of the things that she's seeing in the marketplace out there that you can also benefit from if you want to start your own syndication or if you want to go do things by yourself. Great. So I have a couple of questions for her after perusing the site, so super excited about this. Want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's show, Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator and ready to learn how to go big and fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition education company who's here to help you invest for your family's future every step of the way. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. So let's jump right into it. Got a lot of questions for Kaylee, theapartmentqueen.com, more specifically how she came up with the brand apartmentqueen.com, which I absolutely love. Kaylee, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So the apartment queen, I can see the resemblance, except I was expecting a tiara.
It would have to be a big crown.
It would have to be a big crown. So give us a little background. Who are you? What you do? And what do you do? And how did you get started on this road to multifamily investing?
Who am I? I'm a human who believes in treating other people how you want to be treated, and that's the golden rule that I believe that I live by. And as far as in business, it kind of goes to any industry that I've been involved in. But currently what I'm doing for work is full-time being an apartment syndicator / deal sponsor / principal. And that means a lot of things, but basically we're looking for apartments that have value add opportunity and flipping them essentially and squeezing all the value that we can out of them and being able to distribute that to our investor partners.
Awesome. So when you went on this journey initially, did you jump right into multifamily? You're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make this happen. Or did you take a couple of steps to get there? How did that look for you? Because there are a lot of folks that are just like, holy cow, how do you do that? It seems very intimidating. It seems very unachievable for a lot of investors that want to maybe become syndicators or maybe even find a syndicator to invest in a LP capacity. How does one make that leap?
So it depends on if you're thinking about being an LP, or I just call everyone partners, or a general partner, which is the active deal sponsor group. It really depends on which you're looking for. Typically, getting involved as a limited partner is the quickest and easiest because there's a very low learning curve comparatively, because I'm an active deal sponsor and I also invest passively in my deals, just so I can see what it feels like to get different types of returns, et cetera. But, It's a lot of work and I'm still learning. I mean, I'm 3+ years into this and that's not a very long time. And it's enough to where I have the basics, I believe, and I'm into this industry. And then I've picked a niche where I do things a little bit differently than other operators. But however, with the economy constantly changing, everything changes all the time with our lending, I mean, with everything. So point is you're constantly having to be a lifetime learner, I guess, if you will, if you're going to be a general partner, and also have to decide how big you want to grow your business. You know, if you are like me and you want in the, what is it? Rich Dad Poor Dad has the ESBI quadrant. If you want to be like me and you want to be in the B quadrant, which is a business, a true self-run business and you're not a sole proprietor where you're running the show, because it's, you know, you can do that multifamily, but you're going to be capped at like, I don't know, maybe 20 something units, maybe, and not grow. So it just depends on a variety of things. So typically the knowledge gap from single to multi, for example, to a limited partner or somebody that isn't making all the business decisions, hiring and firing people, dealing with death, arson, lawsuits. I mean, I've dealt with it all. They just get mailbox money and they still get the monthly financial reports. They still get the updates. They still get to see and can ask questions. And especially depending on their investment amount, I've taken on some investors that are interested in later on doing their own thing, and they can, you know, show up to the property, see what we order, when we order, you know, the whole process. They can get a little bit more involved if they've invested quite a bit. So it just depends on how much time you have, depends on how much capital you have. It depends on how your risk tolerance is. Another thing too with a limited partner is that your liability is limited to what you invested. And I know that sounds scary, like, oh my God, I could lose my 50K or my 250K or whatever, but that's it. That doesn't mean that anybody goes after your home or your other assets or your other businesses or whatever. That's the liability that we take on as general partners. Even if people say that their loan is non-recourse, I hate to say it, but there's always carve-outs. There's always a way that it can become recourse in a split second. So point is we carry kind of all the stress and find everything and operate it. So I guess to answer your question, it depends on a variety of things, your bandwidth, but the quickest, easiest way to get in would be to find a active deal sponsor who has been doing it for a while, who has transparent reporting. Some other people in the industry can vouch for them and basically be able to invest in their deals, but it's also yours as well, and kind of start learning after you've hopefully already read a few books. I can recommend some, maybe attended a couple of weekend online or in-person courses where basically you're learning just the fundamentals. That's the quickest way to get started.
So you have a very unique brand online, and I was doing a little research, and the mission and the values behind the Apartment Queen are very unique. Talk to that for me a little bit, because a lot of folks that I talk to when they're syndicating or when they're raising money, their mission is to raise money, right? There's a difference between having a mission and having a mission, and you have the latter. So talk about your mission and what the future looks like for the Apartment Queen.
So our vision, so there's mission, vision, values, of course. I think to any, like I mentioned, I wanted to establish a B-type self-run major business. That's what I want to see us grow to. So you have to have those three things: mission, vision, values, and culture. And in that, our vision, very simply, is to create 1 billion female investors by 2030. And so far right now, we're doing that using real estate as our vehicle. So that is changing a little bit with crowdfunding, just changing to where it's now applicable to real estate. So I'm actually about to come out with a dual offering where it's a 506C fund, but it's also partnered with the Reg CF or Reg C crowdfunding offering. So we're able to take much less as far as initial investments and be able to give people a little bit of a taste of what it's like to be a part of a major stable asset that is one of the best producing classes of income, of tax benefits, and much more historically compared to many other industries. So I guess the vision's very clear, right? And the mission and the values, those two things, I don't want to get them messed up, because the values are, it's a long list. Honestly, I would check out our website, but these are just personal things that I've learned to live by. Like I mentioned earlier, treat other people how you want to be treated. Families come first. Mental health is very important. We celebrate all wins. I mean, there's like I said, a list of things, but it's just kind of stuff I've been through that I believe in. And so that's part of the values and the culture. As far as the mission, our mission is to get rid of toxic codependency and abuse, because I myself and many other people have experienced financial abuse through other types of abuse. It's just a side effect that no one sees, by instead empowering specifically women through multifamily real estate investments. And there's a couple other lines to it as well, but that's the general mission. Is to be able to get rid of codependency and financial and other abuses because we're able to provide opportunities to individuals that were no longer or have never been offered before. Especially, like I said, now with that crowdfunding offering, you know, my grandma can invest $1,000, you know, like that hasn't been able to be done until literally March 13th, 2021. So I'm excited.
That's really neat. Well, congrats on that. That's happening very soon. What would you say are some of the biggest lessons that you've had to learn going down this path? Because it seems like, or maybe pick your number one biggest lesson, because it seems like there would be a lot in this case. And as you're learning, you're growing, and you're a student of life, as we all are, and we think, well, the foundation that we're setting for ourselves today will lead to a better tomorrow, but that doesn't happen without having a bunch of life lessons that we've got to learn. So what was maybe your biggest?
You know, in a lot of things are, you kind of have to see some certain lessons in retrospect. So I'm kind of going through a lot right now. And I know that within a couple of months or maybe even a year, I'll be able to look back and go, oh, wow, this is super clear why I had to go through all of this. But in the moment, a big like kind of upfront lesson that I learned is I'm younger and I am a passionate person who gets excited, especially whenever I'm able to find something that is a winning deal, for example, and get excited to share that with other people because I'm able to make them a boatload of money and be able to stimulate my career. And it, like, everybody wins, you know? So I don't know why people wouldn't get excited about that. But the point is that I've learned, for me, being excited and being kind of like that natural salesperson, if you will, comes across sometimes to other people as one phony or, like I mentioned, salesy, even though it's a genuine excitement. And so instead I've learned when you're talking about an investment that people can invest in, it's best to like literally be not excited about it and just be like, well, you know, the returns are 15% cash on cash. You know, I guess it could be better, it could be worse, whatever. Just be super passive as far as like, you know, over or under promising, over delivering, but on the front end, being able to do that even with your speech, you know what I mean? Just being like, oh, you know, I'm not going to promise anything, you know? And like I said, by the way, everybody, people live in these properties. So we've got floods, arson, and like I mentioned, lawsuits that we have to deal with as a general partnership team. I mean, there's stuff that happens constantly. And so the team that's involved just has to be solution focused. So I guess when you're going through the process of figuring out who you're going to partner with on a deal, kind of the same thing, instead of going to people being super excited to sell them something, it's more of a dance. It's more of a vetting process. And honestly, same thing with limited partners. It doesn't make a difference, but doing your kind of due diligence on these people and seeing if you can kind of shove them away and shove them away. And if your maybe ethics, values, your mission in life, what you want, if that's in alignment, you guys will just come together anyway. You don't have to sell it or force it or anything like that. And then another thing is, you know, in the beginning, when you're getting involved in multifamily real estate, you know, you obviously need a team and you need partners to do things because you don't have all the net worth, you don't have all the money, liquidity, you don't have the access to the deal. There are certain pieces that you don't have, so you got to partner with people. But as far as, you know, making sure that you're, like I said, in alignment with those people, that should be kind of like a dating phase. And so coming across and or actually being desperate in the beginning is totally understandable because when you're just getting started, again, you don't have everything. And so, you know that if you just have this one person to help you, you can get the deal done. Or if you just have this one signature, you can have a key principal, whatever it is. But pretty much just making sure that you're always in a position. And I would say this in any career field. And, you know, that's why I kept my day job, if you will, for a long time. You know, I still have a residential brokerage license and I still help people list houses sometimes. I still do stuff, not so much right now today anymore, but in the first 2 years or so I did, because I didn't want to make anyone feel like I was pressuring them to invest with me or anyone to partner with me, because I was like, you know what, if you say no, I'm cool. Like, I've got income, I'm okay. So the vetting process, and again, making sure you do quite a bit of business dating, you know, even meet their families. You know, that's what I do now. I get a gauge for literally, let's have the hard conversations now. I don't want to have them later. Like, how have you screwed up? How have I screwed up? What did I do to fix it? You know, and again, seeing how we match. That is, the people are the only way you're going to get anywhere in, I think, life, period. But I can vouch for sure in my industry, without relationships and without having those strong I don't know how to say this, but, you know, things in common. So whether it's ethics, vision, values, religion, whatever it is your thing, but you got to be in alignment. So that's a huge lesson.
So it seems like some of the common denominators there are really, really important, right? And even if your future self looks back at your current self and you're like, wait a minute, I'm just not in aligned with what I want for my life, with what multifamily or single family or whatever it is that you're doing has to offer, then it's like, why even do it to begin with? So I'm so, so happy that you found that, and it's incredible. We're going to wrap up. I got one more question for you. There's something that you're looking for. If there's one thing, I know everybody's looking for something. If there's one thing that you would look for, that you're looking for, what would it be?
One thing. I've got like six. But for me, as far as staying on that path of why I get up every day, what motivates me to get out of bed, what's my one thing, you know, it's empowering women financially. So that is my thing, right? So the one thing that I would either ask for or ask for you to participate with us with or whatnot is just go on the website. And there's so many different ways that we've chosen, but primarily in multifamily two ways we've chosen to empower women by being great leaders as the sponsorship team. And then also by being able to bring more women in as limited partners, even through the men that invest in our fund, for example, they can get a higher preferred return by simply mentoring a female. And then the female reports in our investor portal, and then they get a bumped up preferred return after a year. So I do whatever I can to make sure that more women are becoming financially empowered, because especially in my industry, being kept down and being kept into like a minority or a small category of people that keeps us from being able to have access to the deals, the income, the net worth, whatever it is that we need to be able to have generational wealth in our families and take care of ourselves. So being able to empower women to do something in my industry would make me very happy.
I love that. And I couldn't agree more. We need more women in real estate, and especially multifamily. Well, Kaylee, congratulations to all of your success. If there's anything that we can do for you, feel free to reach out. And what's the best way for potential investors or anybody that wants to mentor? Just get in touch and say hello. How do they do that with you?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it earlier. If you just go to the website, theapartmentqueen.com, there's a lot of content, but you go to the top tabs or navigation bar, there is a place for accredited investors to go to the fund to get on a wait list. If you're just looking to get on the next deal-to-deal offering, there's a quiz button for that as well. If you have a 1031 exchange and you want to at least 2X your portfolio, we can actually move those exchanges into an apartment deal. There's a variety of different options that you can have. Or if you want to be active, we even have our own underwriting software that my partner developed. She's super smart. So there's a lot of offers. Just go check out the website, and then you can find how to get a hold of me through there too.
Great. Kaylee, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. You're a rock star. All right, we'll catch you later. Think Realty Nation, our next segment is brought to you by briefcase.email. Join thousands of readers and sign up at briefcase.email to receive a free weekly newsletter for real estate entrepreneurs. Briefcase loves to have fun with their newsletter, so if you don't laugh, they'll give you your money back. Check it out. Go to briefcase.email to sign up. For the last segment, last minute or two here, we're talking about millennials and how to prepare for millennial home buyers. A couple of points made by the Think Realty editorial staff. Number one, millennials are looking to buy more so than ever before. Gone are the days where we thought we don't want kids, right? Millennials don't want kids. We don't want to live in the suburbs, nothing like that. That is all of those ideas are out the window. Quote, millennials are quickly becoming the larger slice of the pie when it comes to home buyers. According to the report, and this is a millennial home buyer survey by Clever Real Estate, sample size of 1,000 people. According to this report, current record low real estate interest rates are the biggest motivator for 40% of millennials that want to buy a house, which is pretty cool. On top of that, President Biden said that there's going to be proposed $10,000 student loan forgiveness impact, which would have a pretty positive impact on their finances. And for 23% of millennials, that would wipe out their student loans altogether, which is interesting. Secondly, if you're targeting millennials, you want to up your game and up your speed. What does that really mean? Well, number one, 80% of millennials would consider buying a home sight unseen, and 29%. Number two, 29% would buy a house after only seeing photos or a virtual tour. So you don't have to waste your time necessarily in going to actual in-person meetings anymore, which I think is kind of cool. If you have a bunch of rentals, then make your rentals, so this is tip number three, make your rentals a solid advantage to buying. What is it in that area? Maybe upgraded appliances, maybe something a little extra so that you can command that millennial's interest instead of them going out and buying a home if that's where your focus is. And last but not least, you want to move from renting, in this case, to flipping. Now, millennials, like I said, millennials are buying, and you want to make sure that if you're capitalizing on that market, then flipping becomes your strategy for millennials. So check out the article titled How to Prepare for Millennial Homebuyers on thinkrealty.com. If you have any questions for us, you know how to get in touch. Go to thinkrealty.com. We have a conference that's coming up September 18 to 19 in Baltimore. It's a hybrid conference and expo. So you can attend in person or virtually online. And right now, you're getting a buy one, get one deal by entering the code word podcast when you sign up for two tickets. Remember, you have to sign up for two tickets, and then you type in the code word podcast, then you get, it's a BOGO deal. So go to thinkrealty.com/Baltimore for that. That's the show. If you got any other questions, get in touch. You know how to do it. And until next time, happy investing.